You know, it's always nice to get away on a vacation, holidays, to be able to recharge a little bit. But it's so much better when you get back home, back to the place and the people where you know God's put you. And let me tell you, Devon Community Church is a great place to be. Amen? Amen. Especially this weekend. Wasn't yesterday wonderful? A great time of connecting. I hope you're able to meet some new folks and enjoy some great conversations. If you are new to our church, I want to welcome you. I'm Pastor Burt, and I'm so glad you've chosen to join us today to experience and enjoy this wonderful church family. In fact, as Cole mentioned earlier, we want to invite you to join us for some refreshments after our gathering today to celebrate and thank Miranda, our youth leader, who's done such a wonderful job, faithful service over these years. And she's been laboring diligently, but she's got another kind of labor coming up. So we're going to just let her deal with that and focus on that. I'm sorry, I had to do it. Oh. Sometimes my mind says, no, don't go there. And my mouth goes, yeah, this will be funny. No, anyways. But I hope you'll join us for that at the end of the service. That'd be great. You know, our focus, if you are new, our focus this year has been on discovery, right? Discovering more about God, more about his church, and more about his purpose for each one of us. And my hope today is that you'll discover that God loves you and has provided a place for you right here at Devon Community Church. Because you see, God never meant for people to go through this life all alone. In fact, the very reason that God made people was to be in relationship with them, so he could show them his love. But the Bible shows us that people are the ones who turned away from God and chose to go their own way. One of God's ancient speakers named Isaiah told the people of his time, "We're all like sheep who've wandered off and gotten lost. We've all done our own thing, gone our own way." Isn't that the truth? You know, the problem with going whatever way we think is right for us is that we're not God. So we can't see where our choices will lead us. Israel's King Solomon is considered to be the wisest person of the ancient world. In the Bible's book of Proverbs, he wrote this: "Before every person lies a road that seems to be right, but the end of that road is death and destruction." So the point is that when people first walked away from God and all the good things that he had planned for them, it put every one of us on a road that leads to death and destruction. One of the early church leaders named Paul, writing to the church that was just starting in Rome at that time, he put it like this: "The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." Now, sin is simply missing the mark of God's best for us. That's what the original Greek word that Paul uses here literally means: missing the mark. So God tells us in his instruction manual that we call the Bible that when we turn away from doing things our own way and turn back to him by following Jesus and his instructions for life and godliness, it will lead us to a good and full and eternal life. You know, God led good and faithful people to write about their experiences with him and his heart for us. And that's how we got the Bible. It's meant to teach us and guide us into the best life that we could actually ever live. But that doesn't mean it's going to be an easy life. Some people want that, right? They think, come to Jesus, everything should be bunnies and butterflies or something. I don't know. But it's not that way. Doesn't mean it's always going to be easy. No, Jesus said that in this world, we will have what? Can anybody testify to that? I should see every hand up. Otherwise, I need to hang out with you more and let that rub off on me. Why? Because he had trouble. Jesus faced trouble. Why should we be any different? But in spite of the problems we may face, life will still have meaning. It'll have purpose, and it'll have fulfillment. And because God knows that life can be difficult at times, he created a community of faith called the church. You see, the church isn't a building. It's not an organization. It's a family, a community of believers, of people, right? The Greek word for church that Jesus and the early church leaders used that we find in the Bible is ekklesia, which occurs over 100 times in the Bible, and it means a gathering or assembly of people. That's all it means. It denotes the importance of community. Because life, as I said, was never meant to be lived alone. In fact, there are more than 40 different one another directions that God gives us that cannot be followed outside of community. Love one another. Honor one another. Submit to one another. Accept one another. Forgive one another. Teach one another. Encourage one another. Care for one another, etc., etc. So we can see from this that God calls his church to be a family of faith and a community of care. And it's why our slogan at Devon Community Church is, in fact, loving God, loving people. So if you're here for the first time today and you're looking for a community where you can grow in both life and godliness, then you're in the right place. Because we're committed to growing into a loving community ourselves and that reach out in love to the community that we actually live in as well, so that they too can experience the abundant life that Jesus promises. That's why over our next few Sundays, except pretty much for Father's Day, our Camo Sunday, we're going to look at several ways that the Bible tells us how to best live in community together. So our focus is going to be on community for next while. We're going to start with an account that's recorded in the Bible that was a huge community event where thousands of people got together, not unlike Devon Days. Okay, in my research, I was surprised to discover this is actually one of the only events recorded in all four of the eyewitness accounts that were written by Jesus' followers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That tells me that this was such a significant event that it made an impact on all of Jesus' followers at that time. Let me read you from Matthew's account, what he wrote about the event. It's in chapter 14, starting in verse 13. He says, "When he arrived," meaning Jesus, "he saw a great crowd waiting. He felt sorry for them and healed those who were sick. When it was evening, his followers came to him and said, 'No one lives in this place and it's already late. Send the people away so they can go into the towns and buy food for themselves.' But Jesus answered, 'They don't need to go away. You give them something to eat.' They said to him, 'But we have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Jesus said, 'Bring the bread and the fish to me.' Then he told the people to sit down on the grass. He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking to heaven, he thanked God for the food. Jesus divided the bread and gave it to his followers, who gave it to the people. All the people ate and were satisfied. Then the followers filled 12 baskets with the leftover pieces of food and sold it at the church afterwards." Oh, wait, no, doesn't. Let me just go on. Sorry. "There were about 5,000 men there who ate, not counting women and children." Sorry. This account shows us, I think, 3 important aspects of community life that we need to focus on and be intentional about if we really want to discover and experience what true community is all about. First thing I see in Matthew's record is at the heart of being in a community, and that is community is about caring. It's about caring for each other. See, in this account, Jesus right off the bat reveals his caring heart towards the people as soon as he saw them. It says this: "When he arrived, he saw a great crowd waiting. And what happened? He felt sorry for them and healed those who were sick." Jesus saw the people. He recognized their needs. His heart was moved, and he took action. That is our example, folks. That's how God expects us to live. But too often, I think we end up trying to avoid people, don't we? Because we've got our own problems. And we're either too busy or too focused on our own lives to be bothered with what anybody else is dealing with in their lives. Or you might feel like you've got nothing to offer those around you, right? Or that there are just too many people, too many needs, or whatever. I sort of think that this is maybe pretty much how Jesus' followers were feeling that day. Because when I take a look at what, when Jesus asked them to feed the people, what they said. Well, we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. In other words, but Jesus, we can't help all these people. I don't have enough to offer them. I don't have a job that pays enough to feed them all. I'm too busy with my work or my family or my own needs. It's Jesus, I'm just not good enough, talented enough, educated enough, or spiritual enough, whatever that means. When we say that, what we're really saying is, Jesus, you didn't make me good enough. There's actually a deep theological word to describe this attitude. Baloney. I would have said something else, but we're in mixed company, so. I'm sure there's been an excuse that people have used forever, even in the early church. Because Paul, who I mentioned earlier, writing to the church that was in Ephesus, Greece, he said this, God has made us what we are. We're exactly how we're supposed to be, in other words. He has created us in Christ Jesus to live lives filled with good works that he has prepared for us to do. Paul says that God prepared good works for us to do. And he actually created us with the abilities that we need to be able to do them. That means that whatever your 5 loaves and 2 fishes are, it's enough. It's enough. The only thing you're missing in doing them is what we read about Jesus. He saw the people, cared about their predicament, and he acted on it. Jesus' eyes were open, and his heart was open. We need to learn to see people through Jesus' eyes, both physically and spiritually, I think, if we ever want to experience true community together. The next thing we find is that community is always learning. It's always learning. And this point actually isn't in the text we read. It comes from what Mark recorded about the same event, as he was told it by Peter, who's probably the most well-known follower of Jesus. And it says this, Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. I love how the personalities of the different writers actually comes out in how they wrote about this event. Both Matthew and Peter experienced the exact same thing, right? Yet Matthew tells about how Jesus, when he saw the people, he was moved to heal many of them. While Mark's transcription of Peter's experience seems to focus on the fact that Jesus was moved to teach them, probably about the kingdom of God, since that was his favorite topic. The most, you know, the important thing for us to understand is that caring for people involves more than just meeting their physical needs. It involves meeting their emotional and their spiritual needs as well. Jesus cared about the whole person, and so should we. A proper understanding of God's heart and his instructions for us can help us really in both our soul, where our emotions lie, and in our spirit. The Bible actually teaches that we are, in fact, threefold beings, created in the likeness of God. Paul, again, was a great teacher when it came to these kinds of things. In one of his letters to the church that was in Thessalonica, in Greece as well, he mentions, as was commonly understood at that time, this threefold aspect of our being. He says, may your whole self, what is our whole self? Spirit, soul, and body be kept safe and without fault when our Lord Jesus Christ comes. So just like God is the ultimate image of community, three in one, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the Bible shows us that he created us in this similar threefold way. Spirit, soul, body. And so if anything affects one part of my being, guess what? It actually affects all of me. That's why it's so important for us to care for all the needs people may have. Whether it's physical, whether it's emotional, whether it's spiritual. We can't focus on one because another area, if it's weak, it's still going to affect that area, right? Because it affects every part of them. You know, and this point, I think, translates well into community as well. If any part or member of a community is hurting, it actually affects all of us. And we've seen this happening with many towns and cities being affected by those who struggle with drug addiction, right? It affects the whole community, not just the small group. That's why it's so important for us to try to help and care for each other. And this was well expressed in how Paul described the church as the body of Christ, the Roman church. He said, "We are many, but in Christ, we are all one body. And each one is a part of that body. And each part belongs to all the others." You belong to me, folks. Same way I belong to you, right? The church is one body. That's why when one of us is hurting, it affects all of us. But you may be wondering, what's this got to do with learning? This is our point after all, right? What's this got to do with that? Well, I've seen that and read educational experts saying that people actually learn best where? In community. We learn better together. And I think that's why the health restrictions that families experienced hindered the education of so many children. Because they were isolated and unable to learn alongside others. The fact is that there are some things you simply cannot learn alone. You can't learn patience by yourself. You can't learn graciousness. You can't learn forgiveness. You can't learn love on your own. Because they're only learned through relationships. The relationships you have with other people. When Jesus saw the crowd, he cared for them and he taught them. And he calls his church, I believe, to do the same. So what's the third thing that we can learn from this text today? Community is actively sharing. It's sharing. The writers tell us that it had been an especially long and difficult day for Jesus. He had found out earlier that same day that his cousin had been murdered. And then the crowds of needy people had chased him down, so he taught them about God's kingdom, and it was now getting late. This had been a long, hard, full day for him. No doubt he was both physically and emotionally exhausted. But could you ever hear him saying, "What? You're coming to me again? You're telling me these people are hungry? I'm the one who needs some comfort food right now, folks. Would you just go and make me a fillet of fish, please?" No, of course not. Because that's not Jesus' heart, right? He routinely sacrificed his own needs for the needs of others. It says, Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, looked up toward heaven, and he blessed them. Then, breaking the loaves into pieces, he gave the bread to the disciples who distributed it to the people. Yet, I confess, there are times, folks, when I feel done, right? And I can't deal with another person. I just want to go home, have a burger and veg, right, for the evening. Because I'm not there yet. I haven't arrived when it comes to becoming like Jesus in this area. I'm still needing to grow. And I think if we're all perfectly honest, we can all agree that we all do. The thing is, community is hard work. It can be hard work. That's why it takes all of us working together to make it happen. Some days I've got the ability and I've got the energy to help you. Other days I'm the one desperately needing some help. We're all human and we're limited in what we can share and how much we can share. Listen to how Paul explained it to the church in Ephesus again. Some of us have been given special ability as apostles, or today we might call them missionaries. To others, he has given the gift of being able to preach well. Some have special ability in winning people to Christ, helping them to trust him as their savior. Still others have a gift for caring for God's people as a shepherd does his sheep, leading and teaching them in the ways of God. Why is it that he gives us these special abilities to do certain things best? It's that God's people will be equipped to do better work for him, building up the church, the body of Christ, to a position of strength and maturity. Paul says it takes all of us sharing with one another the gifts and the abilities, the resources that we've been given, right? It takes the entire community, the whole team, because none of us can do it on our own, ever. We couldn't do it. I may have and be able to share some certain abilities, some certain resources that will help you. But you know what? I may not. But Robin might, or Rhonda might, or Colby or Kaylee. The point is that a great community happens when we share the abilities God's given us, the resources he's blessed us with, and the experiences he's brought us through. I love how it describes the people after this event. In Matthew 14, 20, it says this, all the people ate and were satisfied. What do the people in a caring, learning, and sharing community look like? They look satisfied. That's what happens when these three things are happening in the church. When we're caring for one another, learning from one another, sharing with one another. In John's account of this event, it says this, their hearts were content. I like that. Does the community agree on everything? No. Are we all supposed to be like robots and clones and act alike? No. Are we supposed to perfectly get along? Nope. But our hearts are content. We're content with one another. And we're content with what God is doing in and through each one of us. And that, folks, is the crux of the matter. When it comes to being a community, it's all about God working in us and through us. Great community can't happen without Jesus. Without his love in our lives. Without his spirit enabling and empowering us to care for and learn from and share with one another. If you've never asked Jesus to forgive you of your sin and become the leader of your life, then you are missing out on God's very best for you. You're missing the mark. And as Solomon said, you're headed for destruction. Except the Bible calls that place hell. It's a place of eternal death, a separation from all the good that God is and what he wants for you. It's a place no one was ever meant to go to. That's why God gave us a roadmap called the Bible to find our way to him. The only way through a relationship with Jesus the Savior. Only he can save us from our sin and give us a new life and purpose for living that'll last forever. So if you're here today, and after hearing this talk, you feel like maybe you're ready to turn back to God. If you're ready for Jesus to become your Savior and leader today, And I'm going to lead you in a short prayer that'll help you do just that. And if everyone would just bow our heads together and close your eyes, thank you. You know, if you want to be included in this prayer today, if you could just let me know, I can just identify you and so I can pray for you. Just raise your hand quickly and I'll just pray for you along with everybody else. Thank you. Let's pray. Dear God, oh God, I know it's easy to get so wrapped up in my own life that I don't have time or energy to care for other people. I have a hard enough time caring for myself, God. But you know what? I want my life to count for more than just me. And I'm sorry for doing my own thing and ignoring you and your best for me. So I ask for your forgiveness. And I ask for your help in living for you from now on. I ask you, Jesus, to be the leader of my life today and forever. Please help me to care for people like you do and help me to learn from those you've brought into my life today in this church. And help me to share what you've done in my life today. Thanks, God. I pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Ask the musicians to come back. But if you did pray that prayer for the first time, I want you to know God heard you. And he accepted you as his child, as we sang about earlier. He created the church to help you to grow in your relationship. So if you could let us know by filling in one of those Connect cards in the seat in front of you, or that's linked on the stream online or on our church app, we can provide with some resources that will help you start this journey with Jesus.